The World Health Organization, WHO, promoted Jeremy Farrar, PhD, the architect of several key COVID-19 pandemic-era policies, including mass vaccination, to Assistant Director General as part of a broader shakeup that includes significant budget cuts, Reuters reported Wednesday. According to Health Policy Watch, Farrar, the WHO's chief scientist since January 2023, will step into his role as Assistant Director General for Health Promotion, Disease Prevention and Control on June 16. The WHO management team was reduced from 14 to 7 as part of changes Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus announced Wednesday. These include significant reductions in staff and the number of departments and divisions. The moves come just months after the Trump administration announced it would withdraw the U.S. from the WHO and just a week before the organization's annual meeting, the 78th World Health Assembly, is set to begin in Geneva, Switzerland, where the proposed pandemic agreement will be discussed. Farrar rewarded for his role in defrauding the public and policymakers. Following this week's restructuring, Farrar has emerged as an even more senior figure in the agency shakeup and someone to watch for the future, Health Policy Watch reported. Before joining the WHO in 2023, Farrar was the director of the Wellcome Trust and the architect of several key COVID-19 pandemic policy directives the WHO adopted, including lockdowns, masking, and mass vaccination. Farrar also had a key role in promoting The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, a paper published in Nature Medicine in March 2020, claiming that COVID-19 emerged from animals. Proximal origin was widely used to rebuff the blab leak theory of COVID-19's origins and discredit its proponents as conspiracy theorists. Farrar worked with the co-authors of A Proximal Origin and with figures like Dr. Anthony Fauci to draft and publish the paper, even though Farrar was ultimately not listed as a co-author, a possible violation of Nature's editorial policy. Farrar has collaborated with Peter Daszak, PhD, the former president of EcoHealth Alliance, which received U.S. government grants to perform coronavirus research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, from which COVID-19 allegedly emerged. Last year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services suspended all funding for the EcoHealth Alliance. Rutgers University molecular biologist Richard E. Bright, PhD, a critic of the controversial gain-of-function research performed at the Wuhan lab, said Farrar and Fauci were among the figures who made the decision to defraud the global public and global policymakers about the origin of COVID-19. Farrar was rewarded for his role in defrauding the public and policymakers by being appointed first as chief scientist at the WHO and now as associate director general of the WHO, E. Bright said. He said Farrar reportedly is being considered for nomination as the next director general of the WHO. Dutch attorney Mike Terhorst, who has closely followed the WHO's proceedings and its efforts to enact the pandemic treaty, said that, in his role as chief scientific officer of the WHO, Farrar was so influential that he may have been the real director of the WHO during the COVID-19 pandemic. Budget cuts suggest WHO is struggling to survive. In remarks to the WHO's Program, Budget and Administration Committee on Wednesday, Tedros said he is confident that this new team, under the restructured organization, is best positioned to now guide WHO as we face the challenges of the coming years, Health Policy Watch reported. Tedros also said the WHO would cut staff costs by 25% and downsize to 34 departments from 76 today, Reuters reported. Earlier this year, the WHO announced efficiency measures aimed at helping it save approximately $165 million this year. To be blunt, we cannot do everything, Tedros said. Let's be clear, reducing the scale of our workforce means reducing the scale and scope of our work, Tedros said, adding the organization would close offices in some high-income countries. In 2023, the WHO approved a 20% budget increase to combat the threat of the next pandemic, including a possible outbreak caused by a yet unknown disease X. But the WHO's latest restructuring includes a 21% budget cut for the 2026 to 2027 fiscal year, to $4.2 billion. According to Reuters, the WHO may also have difficulty meeting that figure, as only 60% of that amount has been secured at present. Terhorst said that, despite the promotion of figures like Farrar, the changes at the WHO indicate the organization is now struggling to survive. The future is not with the WHO, they cannot repair the damaged credibility. On the first day of his return to office in January, Trump issued an executive order withdrawing the U.S. from the WHO, citing the onerous financial support the organization received from the U.S. and its mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic as some of the reasons for the decision to leave. Until now, the U.S. was the biggest contributor to the WHO's budget. U.S. law requires 1 year's notice and the payment of outstanding fees upon withdrawing from the WHO. That means the final full withdrawal will take effect in early 2026. Payment of those fees remains outstanding, Reuters reported. According to Reuters, the WHO is pursuing collaborations with global health groups to discuss better collaboration following the U.S. withdrawal and the latest cuts. These groups may include the Gates Foundation, the WHO's second-largest individual donor behind the U.S. at $689 million. Last week, the Gates Foundation announced it would double spending until 2045 to accelerate progress on saving and improving lives. It is unclear if this will include increased funding to the WHO. Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, the third-largest individual donor to the WHO, might also work more closely with the WHO. Listed as an official stakeholder by the WHO, Gavi was established in 1999 by the Gates Foundation, which holds one of the four permanent seats on Gavi's board and heavily funds the organization. The WHO has also closely worked with groups such as the Clinton Foundation. Independent journalist James Roguski, who has extensively investigated the workings of the WHO, said that the European Union, through its executive branch, the European Commission, might also seek to increase its influence within the WHO. It has been very clear that the European Commission has exerted very powerful influence over the negotiations that have been held over the past 3 years, Roguski said, referring to negotiations to enact the pandemic agreement. Last year, the World Health Assembly failed to agree on the pandemic treaty, but negotiations have continued. Roguski said those efforts have encountered continued difficulties, despite their propaganda efforts to confuse the issue. Earlier today, the WHO published a resolution to adopt the proposed pandemic agreement. But according to Roguski, because the WHO missed earlier deadlines to finalize the agreement, it legally can't take effect this year. Even if they adopt the proposed pandemic agreement, member nations will not be able to sign on as parties to the agreement until all negotiations are finalized and agreed to at the 79th WHO in May 2026, Roguski said. According to Roguski, the new pandemic agreement centers around a coordinating financial mechanism that seeks to raise tens of billions of dollars to facilitate a massive expansion of the global means of production, logistics, and distribution network for tests, drugs, vaccines, and cell and gene-based therapies. Jeffrey Tucker, president and founder of the Brownstone Institute, said the latest developments at the WHO indicate that the organization's global role is waning. The future is not with the WHO. The organization massively bungled the pandemic, from the very beginning and for years following, with no course correction and still no admission of wrongdoing. This is not unknown all over the world. They capped this disaster by demanding more money, which is now not forthcoming. There must be options, not global ones, but nation by nation, community by community, person by person. All future efforts will be focused on this and not on refurbishing a failed model. Private and corporate donors can patch up the finances, but they cannot repair the damaged credibility.